KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have a partly cloudy sky, 65 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today. High of 86, winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight as well, with a low of 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Creston police report two women and four children suffered suspected minor non-incapacitating injuries during a collision Wednesday evening. Authorities say a 2006 Chevy Impala driven by 18-year-old Alexandria Whitfield of Creston was traveling in the outside lane east on Highway 34 a little before 5 p.m. A 2001 Chevy Tahoe driven by 33-year-old Kayla Harris of Creston was traveling westbound in the inside lane and attempting to turn south onto Abel. The vehicles collided head-on, sustaining disabling damage estimated at $10,000 each. Whitfield and Harris were transported by EMS ambulance to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston. A passenger in the Impala, 13-year-old Andrea Whitfield, and three passengers in the Tahoe, 13-year-old Madison Ford, 12-year-old Keona Robb, and 13-year-old Olivia Robb, all of Creston, also were transported to the hospital by EMS. With the exception of Kayla Harris, each of the vehicle occupants were wearing their seatbelts. Personnel from the Creston Fire Department assisted at the scene. Police say Whitfield was cited for operating a motor vehicle with an expired license and possession of a controlled substance. Harris was cited for failure to yield upon left turn. Authorities say following the collision, the Tahoe came to rest on the Iowa Savings Bank property at 504 West Taylor in Creston. The SUV struck the front of the brick structure and also hit a road sign. Collateral damage as a result of the crash amounted to $600 altogether. The Cass County Board of Supervisors have approved an appointment to the County Veterans Affairs Commission. Veterans Affairs Director Mitch Holmes said out of three female and two male applicants, the commission selected Christine Short. The move also serves to gender balance that commission. Short will serve a three-year term beginning in July 1st today and ending June 30th, 2024. The board also approved the renewal of a partnership agreement for the employment of Brigham Hoig as Cass County Wellness Coordinator for the fiscal year 2021-22. Supervisor Steve Green.
I think Brigham's done an outstanding job for us in pretty much all areas beyond our expectations, so I certainly want to keep that situation going.
The partnership includes Cass County Ag Extension Direct District, Cass County Memorial Hospital, and the Nishna Valley Family YMCA. Hoig has served as the Cass County Wellness Coordinator since the program and position was created back in 2019. The supervisors also approved a fiscal year 2022 lease agreement with Partnership for Progress with regard to Willow Heights. The 43-bed residential care facility also provides supported community living, a day program, and rehabilitation services. The agreement is essentially unchanged from previous years. Supervisors Board Chair Steve Beyer acknowledged the building is old and they're doing the best they can to keep it functional.
Looking at it from the standpoint of the landlord, we're being generous. I mean, that's just flat out the way it is. It's a facility that I think we need in the community. From time to time, they've had some financial struggles, but they're, I think, serving now about 34 clients out there. It is, it's a building at that age where there's almost seems like something continual that needs attention.
The Cass County supervisors approved also a compensation schedule for fiscal year 2022, as well as the FY 2022 bargaining agreement with Cass County and the Secondary Roads Employees Group. Cass County Engineer Trent Wolkin Wednesday reported on bridge projects and other secondary roads department news. He told the Board of Supervisors last week was spent applying spot rock, road rock on different roads that needed it in light of the recent rain and heavy traffic on those particular roads. Work installing project pipe along Troublesome Creek Road also began on Wednesday.
As we get delivery of pipe, that's kind of been slow going, but we're continuing to do those project pipe as we get them delivered.
He said work on two bridge projects in the county are progressing, including the Olive Street Bridge, a few miles south of Interstate 80. That has left one of the main corridors from Atlantic to the interstate closed. Wolkin said the project is moving closer toward completion.
We have both abutments poured now, and we're putting riprap underneath the bridge, and we should be getting beams coming in to be placed in the next couple of weeks. So once the beams are put on, it'll really start moving quick.
As for the bridge on Boston Road, Trent Wolkin said all four parts of the substructure are now poured.
And they're working on false work for getting the deck formed to be worn that one, so it's kind of a race between the two bridges to see which one gets done first.
He said also they expect to start work on a box culvert project on Indian Creek Road in far western Cass County sometime in the next month or so. Speaking of road construction, the Iowa DOT's Creston Construction Office reports an interchange project in Dallas County intended to improve traffic flow during peak hours at the Interstate 80 U.S. Highway 169 interchange, or exit 110, will require lane and shoulder closures and an eastbound off-ramp and westbound on-ramp detour beginning Tuesday, July 6th at 8 a.m. and lasting through Tuesday, November 16th, weather, of course, permitting. Work on the project includes pavement widening to add turn lanes on U.S. 169 and the on- and off-ramps at U.S. 80-169 interchange, pavement resurfacing and adding traffic signals at the interchange. Ramps on the west side of the interchange may be closed for a short period of time. During the closures, marked detour routes will be in place. And the DOT reminds you to drive with caution, obey the posted speed limit and other signs in work areas, and be aware that traffic fines for moving violations are at least double in the work zones. And as in all work zones, drivers should stay alert, allow ample space between vehicles, and wear seat belts. That is a check of the news for this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.